Blog Talk Radio.
In Dallas, Texas, on Saturday, December the 2nd. Today, we're going to take a look at a couple of big stories in the news. Obviously, the GOP Senate had a huge night. Actually, it went into the morning. I think it was 2 o'clock Eastern time by the time they made it official. We'll talk a little bit about that and the impact on the news. The NFL. I have a post about the NFL over at the American Thinker that I want to share with you a little bit. The situation in Honduras. The election in Honduras is just one mess. I mean, I just don't know what to say. I mean, it's just one mess. A week ago, they had a vote on Sunday. Initially, one of the two candidates was up by about 5 points in the early results. Now, they were not complete results. They were incomplete results. But nevertheless, there seemed to be a trend in his favor. But as more and more votes came in from particularly some of the outlying areas, well, it's a dead heat right now. They're counting, I think they've got like 97% of the vote or something like that, and they're divided by a point. So it's still too close to call. But there's a lot of violence in the country, and there's been a lot of confrontations between the different groups. And Honduras has issued a curfew, and it's probably not a good thing to visit Honduras here over the next couple of weeks. And Until they settle all of this. But we're going to begin with a huge story of the last 24 hours, and that's not so much that Flynn, that Flynn and the guilty plea and all of that, because I don't think that's as big as the media is making it out to be. It's huge for Michael Flynn. Yeah, Michael Flynn is going to have to pay a price for lying to the FBI, as anybody would. But I don't think it's going to be as severe. In terms of President Trump, that is, as many in the media continue to say. But the big story is what happened with Brian Ross of ABC News. You know, President Trump has been talking about fake news. That's one of his favorite topics, fake news. He always brings it up. So what happens on Friday morning? ABC News, Brian Ross of ABC News, he's their veteran, I think, investigative reporter. He's been around for a long time. As long as I can remember, I remember Brian Ross over at ABC News. He used to do a lot of work, I think, with Dateline or Nightline. He used to do a lot of work with that, I remember, years ago. But anyway, he comes out with a story on Friday morning that really shakes up the market. It shakes up the country because basically he's saying that he has information that the Trump campaign had told Flynn during the campaign to have contacts with Russia. Well, that's a pretty big story. That's a pretty big story because that would create the kind of collusion that he has been accused of. Well, it turns out that a few hours later, they had to back down on that. They had to back down and say, no. It was not candidate Donald Trump. It was president-elect Donald Trump. Well, that's a huge difference. I mean, that is a huge difference in so many ways. But, the point is that I don't know how this happened. I guess it's a combination of things, probably bad research. I'm guessing some very bad research, obviously some very bad sources who told them what was going to happen. But I think also part of this perfect storm that brings about situations like this, I think also part of this is a hatred of Trump in some of these newsrooms, where they hate the guy so much, they basically believe anything that he says, or they always want to believe. Let me just put it this way. They never give the guy the benefit of the doubt. So if somebody comes up with a negative story, they believe it. They never sit back and say, you know what, let's check this before we go. And I think that Brian Ross, I'm not saying his career is over, but he's been suspended, I believe, for 4 weeks. Obviously, his credibility has been damaged tremendously. ABC News, their credibility has been damaged greatly. But fake news, something that the media hates, well, what we saw yesterday was a perfect example of fake news. I'm not saying that they all did it, because a lot of other news sources didn't go as far as ABC. But ABC certainly made a fool of themselves, and now they're going to have to pay the price. I guess they're just going to have to pay the price and lose a lot of credibility. And Brian Ross, well, he's not going to get paid, I guess, for 4 weeks. He has been suspended without pay. Let's talk a little bit about President Trump and what was really a huge victory in the U.S. Senate last night. Now, it's not over. It still has to go to the House. They still have to come back and do another vote. But nevertheless, it was a huge victory for President Trump. And I have a post coming out Sunday morning where I ask the following question. Where were the moderate Democrats? Why are we even calling these people moderate Democrats? There was a situation last night where not a single Democrat voted for this bill. Are you telling me that there wasn't one Democrat from one of these so-called red states that didn't see some redeeming value in this bill? No, they all voted against it. And in the case of one of these Democrats, Senator Tester, he was all hung up on amendments and, the fact that there was some writing idiotic stuff, process. It's just process, pure process, that at the end of the day doesn't really matter. Ironically, this same Senator Tester, I don't remember him getting all worked up when Obamacare went through the U.S. Senate many years ago without much process, to say the least. But the real question, and the question I keep asking myself, is where are these moderate Democrats? Where are these Democrats who are supposed to be the moderates, who are supposed to be working with President Trump because they represent states where President Trump won big, like West Virginia, like Montana, like North Dakota, like Missouri, like Indiana? Those five states, President Trump won big, and he's popular in those five states. And yet these Democrats continue to follow Senator Schumer, the Democrat minority leader in the Senate. I think they're making a big mistake. I really do, because I believe that this tax bill, I'm not saying it's perfect. As I told you a couple of weeks ago, I would have preferred something more radical. I would have preferred a flat tax or a sales tax. I think that would be better in the long run, but this is probably the best we can get at this point. So I'm willing to go with it because, as I say, it's probably the best that we can get at this point. But I think these Democrats are going to pay a very severe price because the economy is going to improve tremendously because of this tax bill. I think you're going to see a huge boost in confidence. There's already been a huge boost in confidence just by the executive orders that President Trump has reversed. I mean, he's been reversing a bunch of Obama executive orders this year. He hasn't been able to do anything with the Congress because the Congress kept having problems, whether it was Obamacare or taxes. But now that he's got a huge victory on taxes, and I do believe this is going to pass before the end of the year, I think this is going to have a magnificent effect on the economy. I think you're going to see the American economy do quite well in 2018. So come, let's say, the summer of 2018, when a lot of these people are running for re-election, I'm anxious to see what they're going to say. I'm anxious to see what they're going to tell their constituents when they're challenged on the fact that they did nothing, absolutely nothing, to do something about taxes. We're going to take a little break. We're going to hear from my friend Carlos, and then we'll come back with a little bit more commentary.
This is Carlos Quevez, Heartbeat, and I would like to see you guys this Saturday night at Nola Brasserie Authentic Cajun and Creole Restaurant, located at 1201 Main Street, downtown Dallas. I'll be performing instrumental high-energy jazz at 7:30 until midnight. So make your reservation today at 469-872-1820.
If you are on Facebook, if you have a Facebook page, try to find Carlos Quevez. He's got a public page where he's got all of the schedule, the places that he plays around in the Dallas area. And I think you're going to enjoy him a great deal if you go out to one of these places, have a nice dinner, and listen to his absolutely beautiful background music. I mean, the food is great. I can just tell you the food is great. Wherever he goes, the food is great. And, of course, he brings that certain charm with his wonderful music, the harp that he plays in the background. It's just absolutely, absolutely lovely. Well, I have a post this morning, Saturday morning, over at the American Thinker, talking about the NFL. And the fact that the NFL continues to insult the intelligence of the fans. Now, the latest gimmick, and that's what it is, they're apparently going to donate $80, $100 million to some of these causes in the different cities where, you know, they apparently have problems. And they do have problems. I'm not taking that away from them. But I think they're doing it the wrong way. They don't have a ratings problem or angry fans because they're not interested in these social problems. All of us are interested in the social problems. I would love to see some of these relations between the police and black young men improve. But I think the NFL players have a great opportunity to help on that by getting together with the police chief and by getting active in the community. That's how you do it. You don't do it by kneeling during the national anthem. So I just think the NFL is shooting itself in the foot. I'm really amazed, truly, completely amazed that the commissioner has done such a lousy job, frankly, of navigating through this. He has shown no leadership whatsoever. The league is in bad shape. The ratings are getting hurt. And I don't know whether he's going to make it or get replaced. I really don't know. My guess is that most fans right now really don't care because what the fans want is they want their game back. They want politics out of football. And as long as there's politics on the field, the fans are not going to be very happy about the product. That much I can tell you, and I can only speak for myself, but that's how I feel about it. Get the politics off the field, and I think you will see that the fans will once again embrace a game that they love a great deal. Let's go back a little bit on this day in history. First of all, we remember Alexander Haig, who was born on this day in 1924. He died in 2010. General Haig, of course, was a great military man who went into government work in the 70s. He did a great job in the transition between President Nixon and President Ford. Of course, that was not a typical transition because President Nixon was resigning and it all happened kind of quickly. And General Haig did a great job there as a chief of staff or someone who worked in that transition, had a very important role in that transition. Then he became Secretary of State under President Reagan, something that I applauded. I thought that was a great choice. But unfortunately, and I say unfortunately because it's really sad to see a great career. It's like Michael Flynn. You mean to see a great patriot end up this way. But Alexander Haig got caught up in that moment right after the attempt on President Reagan's life when he was at the White House and he went to the media and he said, "I'm in charge here." And that was misunderstood as to say that he was like the acting president, which of course he wasn't. And it all got misunderstood, really, and it's a shame because that's the image of Alexander Haig, who I think, as I said, was an amazing American, an amazing man, a soldier, a patriot, a good guy overall, who unfortunately got caught up in that situation. We also remember the Monroe Doctrine. This was the day that President Monroe wrote to the Congress. Back then, they didn't deliver the speeches in person. They wrote the speeches, actually, and sent them to the Congress, but in the message to the Congress, he wrote about the Americas being for Americas, meaning that the New World or the Europeans should stay out of the New World. It became known as the Monroe Doctrine, and that's what we study in school, the Monroe Doctrine. And on this day in 1961, this is one close to home for many of us Cubans, on this day in 1961, Castro gave a speech in which he said, he admitted that he had always been a Marxist-Leninist, meaning that he was a communist. And I think a lot of people were not necessarily surprised because I think there were always suspicions that he was a communist. But of course, the problem was that a lot of people were put in jail in Cuba for calling Castro a communist. And then when he finally said that he was a communist, none of those people got released, which is an interesting irony there to the life of Castro. So anyway, what an amazing day it was. I can still, you know, my late father used to tell me about this day. I don't remember it that well, but my late father told me about this day, and he kind of suspected that Castro was a communist. But anyway, on this day in 1961, he made it official. Thank you for listening, folks. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, and have a great evening. We'll talk to you later.